WHO actually deplores this attack, the attack on displaced people, and it demonstrates that there is no safe place in Gaza at all.
It's clear, and just trying to put ourselves into the mindset of medical professionals who are having to struggle to treat deeply burned patients. I mean, what are the kind of challenges you can explain that they're up against, given that they are lacking, we're told, all manner of humanitarian supplies?
With regard to this incident, reportedly 35 people killed, maybe more, and multiple injured, and indeed a lot with horrific burns, what we heard and saw. So they were, a number of them were treated at a WHO and partners support a trauma stabilization point, but also at the IMC hospitals and UK Met hospitals. You can only do so much in Gaza. And when it comes to really extensive burns, etc., there's no place currently in Gaza where that can be treated. So we discussed medical evacuations many, many times. And since the closure in since the Rafah closure 6th of May, no one has been actually exiting. There's no medical evacuation outside Gaza. And it was already a huge problem before.
How many people need to be evacuated from Gaza right now?
Our estimation around 10,000 people. And of course, for a lot of people, they always think it's, we talk about the trauma patients, the spinal injuries, the patients which need reconstructive surgery, the burn patients which we just discussed, etc. But there's also many patients before this crisis. On average, 50 to 100 patients per day were referred to East Jerusalem and the West Bank. 40% was oncology, cancer-related patients. Well, they need to go somewhere and they need to be evacuated. There's, up till now, there's still not a proper system in place. And we've been pleading with all parties that we want a system like that. WHO is ready to support a system like that. Egypt is willing to receive more patients. Also, countries in the so-called EMRO region are willing to receive more patients. And we also got some reaction from some of the European countries, which are ready to receive more patients. So we just need a system in place, and a Rafah border needs to be open as soon as possible. And not just for medical evacuation, also to get our medical supplies in, because I want to make a point on that. The Rafah crossing being closed is hampering specifically also the WHO operations in a substantial way, because almost 100% of the medical supplies, essential medicine, medical equipment, equipment and consumables come through Al Arish and Rafah.
So they're not going to come through the maritime corridor, they're not going to come from the north. You're saying this is not an adequate alternative?
Currently, absolutely not. And let's be clear, a lot of those essential medicines are temperature sensitive, etc. So we need to monitor that properly. So since the closing of the Rafah crossing, we only have had three WHO trucks into Rafah. They came through Kerem Shalom, and that's the only supplies. We fortunately still had some supplies, but they are quickly running out. Currently, there are 60 WHO trucks standing in Al Arish, ready to get into Gaza. So again, this plea, the Rafah crossing needs to be opened, not just for medical supplies, but for all other humanitarian supplies.
Right, and you talk about medical supplies, vaccines, temperature-sensitive treatments, but we heard at a press conference earlier today that there are barely any scanning machines for people who need to have x-rays and know how to set bones. I mean, how are doctors and medical professionals actually operating on people who need the right kind of care and the indications on how to do it?
Well, that's a really good point you raise. Like, the whole medical images has really been deteriorated all over Gaza. Currently, what I get, there is only one functional CT scan south of Gaza. So in all these areas, there's a lack of supplies. And specifically when you raise the issue on X-rays or MRIs, etc., you think, we also think about the future. If you think about early recovery and reconstruction, is that we will have to think completely different in the past. In the past, it was very difficult to get in this kind of supplies into Gaza.
Because of the dual use issue, the fact that they might be used by fighters, even though sometimes we've seen that scissors for medical surgical use weren't allowed in for that very reason.
Yeah, well, I can give an example with WHO, and that's way before the crisis, to get 10 mobile X-rays into Gaza. So it took us almost 2 years to get 3 mobile X-rays. Every referral hospital everywhere around the world have a number of these mobile X-rays. They are in the referral hospital almost everywhere. So it absolutely doesn't make sense. And I just want to make this point. When we all hope there will be a sustained ceasefire very soon. And then when you start thinking about the healing process and early recovery and reconstruction, we need to think completely different about getting the supplies into Gaza, including, of course, specific medical equipment and supplies.
It's very tempting to think about what's going to happen once there is a ceasefire. Quickly then, what is the World Health Organization thinking? What is it? What kind of discussions is it leading with member states about how to rehabilitate Gaza, which, as we see, is largely leveled?
So this is going to be a humanitarian marathon and a development marathon. And we're looking forward to work with authorities, with partners, and hopefully this will lead to a Palestinian solution and will lead also finally to an improved health system and an improved health sector for all Palestinians. I want to make one point. It's not just about reconstruction and renovation. It's also how do we make sure that Palestinian health workers get back to work? Before this crisis, there were 25,000 Palestinian health workers in Gaza, well trained. We talk about 11,000 nurses and midwives, 5,000 to 6,000 medical doctors, 5,000 to 600 medical specialists, paramedical workers, lab technicians, etc., etc. I mean, I don't say it had the best health system, but it had a reasonable functional health system. A number of health workers have left. Yeah, but there's still a lot of health workers in Gaza. Most of them are still in Gaza. We estimate that approximately 20 to 30% is still on the job. Many have to flee. Many are in these makeshift camps, etc., and makeshift settlements, etc. But still, the current health services are mainly run by the health workers and incredibly resilient health workers. A lot of them are volunteers. Most of them are not receiving any salary. So we have to also think about the whole human resource approach to make sure we get Palestinian health workers back in place and indeed working towards a Palestinian solution.
It's not too soon to think about the future. I mean, sorry, but a layperson might think, my goodness, these images I'm seeing from Gaza, how on earth can you treat people when we're hearing about amputations happening without anesthetic?
We will have to ensure, of course, that the essential medicine, medical supplies, continuously flowing into Gaza. That has to be improved. That is possible, by the way. WHO and partners, we have distributed an enormous amount of essential medicine, medical supplies, but it's not enough. I mean, this is such an overwhelming disaster. It's not enough. Now, when there would be a sustained ceasefire and there would be entry routes into Gaza, which are properly managed, when there is a deconfliction mechanism, which actually facilitates and supports, much more is possible. But finally, I want to make the point, like everywhere, because we always talk about the devastation is enormous and we think very quickly about reconstruction and how it, et cetera. We should think about people. First, we should think about the communities and the people on the ground and what role do they play in their process. But also, of course, all the professionals. And in health, I'm talking about the health professionals and the health workers. And again, there's a lot of health professionals and there's a lot of very capable health professionals in Gaza, and they should be very much part. They should be the focus and the center of any reconstruction and any rehabilitation process.
Dr. Rip Pierpont, many thanks.